I don't want to be too close to my mic because this mic picks up loud noise.
Okay, I want to be like extra close to my mic.
Okay.
Is this good? Can you hear me?
I'm still sick.
I think I caught like a secondary virus a few days after catching my first virus.
Neither virus was COVID.
Neither virus was COVID. That is correct. I have been tested multiple times. So that's fire type B up in here. My boyfriend, who I was with for multiple days, also not sick. So...
yeah, we're still on Zoom.
I might be on an episode of TLC. I might be on an episode of TLC.
Why?
TLC Unexplained Medical Mysteries.
Oh, I thought you were being genuine, like you filmed something the other day. I don't know why.
I actually got on an episode for a TLC show. It's Say Yes to the Dress. I'm going to get my dress. Also, Little People Big World. I'm the big.
I was actually excited. Anyways,
I wish My Strange Addiction, My Strange Obsession.
What is your strange addiction?
If I was going to be put on My Strange Addiction for any one thing in particular, I think it would be addiction to soup. I love soup. I eat soup probably once a day, and anytime a restaurant offers soup, I will check to see what soup it is. And if it's a good soup, I'll probably get that soup. But sometimes it's a boring soup, or it's like creamy tomato bisque. It's like, that's just going to be a smooth soup that's going to make me fart and poo my pants, and I don't want that.
Thanks for that.
It would be either that or another strange addiction I could possibly have. I don't know. Yeah, I think maybe just soup. I'll stick with just soup. All my other addictions are just regular addictions.
This has gone on for actually way longer.
Alcohol, crack, Xanax, etc.
Oh my god.
Chase, wake the fuck up. It is Met Gala Monday.
Oh yeah, the Met Gala is happening right now. We're not talking about that though.
And they lost her invites in the mail, I think.
I actually was invited. I chose not to attend. I was too busy.
I switched addresses like the day they were sending out the invites. So I think I just didn't, you know, I'm still waiting for it to be forwarded.
I was going to wear what Troye Sivan's wearing was actually designed for me. And luckily we're the same size, so he could take it when I couldn't go.
I was supposed to wear like a bunch of bonbons, actually. I was going to be... I was being designed for by the Hershey's factory, so I was going to be covered in Hershey's kisses.
Who are you wearing tonight?
American than a bunch of Hershey's? Sorry, excuse me.
That's really a fucking wet. Mood kill.
It's a wet cough. It's really a
mood kill. I feel like there's lag for you.
Wet cough.
Say something.
I don't feel any lag. Lag.
See, I said say something like 3 seconds ago.
Okay, well, I saw you respond to me saying lag like 3 seconds later, so this will just be fun for you to edit. pauses.
Anyways, welcome to episode 31 of Two Servings of Fruit. I'm Chase.
This is Chase's death episode, everyone.
Why?
Because he won't be longer than 30.
Oh, well, I'd already be
dead. We're switching Chase out and replacing him with none other than the yellow peanut M&M.
That would be awesome. That would be an awesome podcast.
They should actually do that, Hershey's Factory. They should do like a peanut podcast, peanut M&M, peanut and red M&M podcast.
It would just be voice. It would just be voice actors doing a podcast.
Yeah, but they'd make a bunch of like M&M jokes. Like, hey, what? You got any milk and money?
Try again.
Payday episode. They interview a payday bar and get paid.
Can you introduce yourself, for God's sake?
My name Liam.
Yeah.
I drove in a Starbucks drive-thru today. Your turn.
Am I just supposed to say something I did today?
No, you're supposed to say something about your identity.
Your identity is driving through a Starbucks drive-thru?
Today. That's my identity today.
Okay.
And it was awesome.
I took a nap.
You didn't say your name, idiot.
I've already said it.
What's your name?
Chase.
Great. Anyways. I'm sorry. Like, what do you expect me to do here?
Hold it in.
Okay, well, I'm speaking. There's mucus in my lungs that needs to be expelled. I'm in the process of expelling the mucus.
Maybe you're patient zero of COVID-21.
It's not that bad. So, don't worry, guys.
Anyways, today we are doing something that was lovingly ripped off of another podcast.
Yeah, we're on episode 31, so you know what that means. We're running out of ideas.
That's not true. That's not true. We had Brianne Williamson on our podcast 2 episodes ago, and on her queer podcast, I Can Explain, they did this episode like responding, reacting to their younger baby gay selves, and I just think that's a cute idea.
Yeah, I think that's fun. I don't know exactly what I'll be responding nor reacting to, but I hope it's awesome.
But first, what do we have to do?
We got weird shit of the week.
Yep. Cue jingle.
Chase has been really excited for this one, so I don't know what he's got up his ass and around the corner, but let's find out.
Mine is a good one. Marquise sent it to me.
Whoa, slow down, Speed Racer. You're forgetting something. Cue that motherfucking jingle up in here. I can do a lot of cool stuff with my voice now that I'm ill.
I literally said cue jingle.
I missed that part. This is why you don't trust the internet, guys. You never do anything with technology.
I need you to become healthy so we can record in person again.
You've ever seen this week. Yeah, welcome to Weird Shit of the Week. The week.
Okay, so my weird shit is from Global News.
Oh my god, local.
Yeah, and the headline is Man Sentenced to 10 Years for Jabbing Shopper with Semen-Filled Syringe.
Oh my god, Chase, what the fuck? Jesus.
Thomas, oh, his last name is Steeman. That's kind of like semen. It's literally semen with a T.
Does he have Instagram? I want to DM him.
Thomas Brian Steeman, who jabbed his semen into it.
They put his full name on there.
Yeah. He jabbed his semen into a stranger at a Maryland grocery store last year. He's been sentenced to 10 years in prison for the unprovoked attack. He pleaded guilty.
So what exactly is he going to jail for?
First and second degree assault.
Okay.
He intentionally went out into the community with the goal of assaulting unsuspecting women with his semen-filled syringe. And there's a video of him doing it on surveillance.
There's a video. Oh my god, I do not want to ever see that video in my entire life. I'll tell you that for fucking god. And injected? Are the women okay?
The victim, I think he only was able to do it to one woman, and her name was Katie Peters. Is that bad to say? Oh, they put her name.
Why
on
are
the
they
article.
Literally just giving out the names of all these people involved?
Oh my god, he stabbed her in the butt with it.
Ew.
And she jumped, and she said she initially thought she'd been prodded with a lit cigarette, so she turned around, and he made a joke about the jab. He said, quote, "It felt like a bee sting, didn't it?"
Ew.
She felt
what the actual fuck?
She felt a wet spot around the site of the jab and discovered that it was turning into a big red mark the following day.
This woman is okay. not like traumatized from that.
So they recovered that syringe along with two other ones full of his semen that he was going to attack other people with. So he was only successful in jabbing one woman with it, but he tried to jab two other people with it, including a 17-year-old girl. So this just gets more and more fucked.
Twisted.
And that's him.
Just, ew, oh my god, he's really old.
Yeah.
Jesus, he's going to jail.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, well, my weird shit is a lot more wholesome and not as fucked up and weird as your weird shit. So is not wholesome. Not wholesome. Not for Katie Peters. So that's fucked up. God, can you imagine if you had that happen to you?
Someone jabbed you with their semen?
Like, what do you even do when that's like, do you throw up and go to the hospital? That's what
I would go to the hospital immediately. Like, what if their semen had fucking, like, what if it had diseases? They had, like,
STDs or something. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if anybody injected me with a needle, I think I'd go to the hospital. Because, one, why do you have a needle? Like, people don't just have needles unless they're using them for illicit substances or for medication. Regardless, it's not, as you know, you don't want to just have loose needles.
That's fair.
Me saying that, just like a good tip, guys. Like, you don't want to have loose needles, just by the
life
way.
Advice.
My weird shit is from Vice. This is actually old, but I found it today because I was looking, because you said you found a good one. So I was looking really hard and I couldn't find anything good. My weird shit is from Vice News. The headline is "A couple defaced a $450,000 painting and the artist is fine with it." And I know you're thinking, wait a second, how could the artist be fine with it? Basically, this mural was put up on display in this art gallery. It was one of the only things there that didn't have a frame on it. And there was these paint cans just sitting in front of it because they were part of the exhibit. And this couple went up thinking it was like a collaborative art piece. So they just started painting on it because they thought that's what they were supposed to do. And then they realized after the fact, because they like were like, oh shit, like this is not supposed to be painted on. So now the art first, we have a quote here. It says, "What is this shit?" The artist remembers thinking. He soon changed his mind because of course he's pretentious like that. It's so stupid. It's like, yeah, this is what happens when you have a piece of art that looks like you just threw paint on a wall.
Is there a picture?
Well. Yeah, they only got like three splotches on it. It's like a nice piece, very colorful. Very big, just kind of fun. But the people, like the art curators, they called the police. They looked at the footage and then they like tracked a couple and the couple was like, oh my God, sorry. And yeah, this happened in South Korea. So kind of cool. Kind of like a funny story.
What? I would be so
again,
mortified.
Why would you just leave the paint there?
Yeah, I would be so embarrassed.
I don't know who should be more embarrassed, the artist or the artists.
Yeah. That's some shit you would do. Just see paint and start smudging it.
They use the paintbrushes though. I would have used like my hands.
Yeah, exactly.
Me like dunking my hands in paint while I'm just out one afternoon, like, oh hey, do you want to go to the art gallery? Sure. See some loose paint. I'm gonna dip my hands in that.
Yeah, that's a believable story for you.
Well, you know what? It doesn't just happen to people like me. My strange addiction, dunking my hands in things.
My strange addiction, semen-filled syringes.
Ew. Chase, I'm ill, and that actually makes me iller. So you're not helping my illness.
Chase, can you, like, mute or something? You know, it's one button.
Chase, have some respect for the ill community, okay? There's a pandemic going on, okay? There's actually a pandemic.
You're not part of it. You don't have COVID.
A pandemic means global illness. I am part of the global illness. So I am, in fact, in the pandemic. So
anyways, that was weird shit of the week. Good weird shit, I think.
It was fucked up. It was supremely fucked up, and I never will be speaking to you again. But yeah, okay.
Why? Mine wasn't even that bad.
Great.
Whatever.
What was the name of that man going around and touching people with semen? Not even that bad.
So
it's actually just supremely fucked up. Semen doesn't get out of their blood. It stays in there forever.
Is that true?
I don't think that's true.
Rethinking
that. I'd imagine it just breaks down and your body just kinda, you know, detoxifies itself.
Yeah, it gets that poison out. Semen is poison.
In that situation, it is.
In every situation.
That could have been attempted murder. I guess you couldn't, maybe you couldn't say murder. Death by semen.
That's Liam's dream. Death by semen.
My strange addiction. Just jizz. No.
Ew, the word jizz. Anyways, let's get back on track here.
I saw graffiti the other day that just said jizzy.
Yeah, let's get back on track. I don't actually want to hear about that.
Why not? Anyways, back to what we would tell our younger gay selves.
Well, let's remember?
Like an It Gets Better video? I used to love those.
I mean, yours could be. Mine is an It Gets Worse.
It gets worse, little Chase. It gets so much worse, you emo shit.
Well, how do you remember your younger self?
When I was just a wee child in elementary school, I was just always kind of weird. So I didn't even think, I mean, I kind of didn't come to terms with my sexuality until high school. So like when I was in like elementary school, I was just like unhinged. Like, I think I just didn't even fully understand society enough to know when to not do certain things. And I was never like really punished for that either. Like, I was always like had good manners and stuff, but then I'd also do just kind of like really weird shit, or like just be like, I used to like crawl under desks or like hide in closets during lunch. Or when I was in grade 2, I started a ghost club where we would summon fucking spirits at school. At school. Yeah, we'd be ready to go.
With a Ouija board?
Like, I did get in trouble for bringing a Ouija board to school repeatedly in grade 5. And the teacher was like, you can't do that. People don't agree with that always. Like, it's disrespectful. So yeah, I was just a really weird kind of fucked up kid. I used to write stories about Cheese Whiz and just say like Cheese Whiz, Cheese Whiz. I was a quirky girl.
So when did you
realize? I remember witchcraft before school sometimes. And I was in like grade 6, I would do like a wolf spell. We had this stump and I'd bring my salt from home and this printed out picture of a wolf, and we would burn it in the salt circle and like chant.
Okay, this is getting scary actually.
It's almost Halloween.
When did you realize you were a baby gay?
Beginning of high school. Awesome. Yeah, like grade 8, I would say. I was like, maybe I'm not actually into girls actually at all. I thought, oh, you know what? I just want to have sex with guys. And I was like, no, I actually really want to date a married man as well. So that was my awakening. And I would just want, like I said, I would just watch videos of like people coming out and like It Gets Better videos and just be like, oh my God, this is resonating with me. Or like that one guy came out to his dad over the phone and I was like, oh my God, that could be me. I could come out to my dad. Eventually I did. So I wasn't as cute as the guy in that video, and I didn't do it to his face. So when did your baby gayness come into clear view?
I mean, I feel like you can't know. You don't consider yourself a baby gay when you're a baby gay. You just kind of look back on it like that. But I feel bad for baby gay me.
I do too.
I think that, you know? I just got into the wrong shit at the wrong time. And I don't know. I like thought wearing eyeliner to the first day of high school was a good idea. And I just I don't know. I mean, on one...
You made choices. Yeah.
On one side, I'm like, good for you. You wore eyeliner on your first day of high school. Like, what a bold move. Like, that takes balls, you know? But on the other hand, I'm like, are you really surprised what happened after that?
I guess that also I am curious, when did you, like, looking back on it, I think I knew, like, I remember having like dreams about boys when I was like seven, but not cluing in that maybe I was having those dreams because I was like attracted to them, you know what I mean? But then, like, I only kind of realized that looking back. Like, when do you think you actually, like, retrospectively were like, oh, yeah, that should have been a sign?
I don't know if there were that many signs before I just kind of, like, accepted it. Because I don't know. I, like, came to terms with it at a very young age. So, I mean, I remember watching gay porn for the first time when I was 11, 10. Like...
Raw.
Like,
I mean, not raw, but
I mean, like, it might have been. Might have been, honestly. Who knows? Which, looking back, is that young? Is that normal? I don't know.
I think for boys, probably, yeah, honestly, in this age.
That's like messed up as an adult.
Porn is so accessible for, yeah, I know. Looking back on it, I think I first saw porn when I was 9.
Yeah, I might have been too. I think I first went looking for it when I was 10. So that's awesome.
I think I was 9. I think I Googled boobs or something. Naked boobs, probably.
I was a master.
I was just thought that's what you could do.
I was a master of clearing my browser history. So
I wasn't. I got my computer swarmed in viruses. I clicked every single ad, and this was back when, like, it was like Windows XP, like, viruses were easy to obtain, and I was just like, yep, virus, give me virus. I was fucking injected with semen through the computer.
Ew.
Virus.
I just remember looking at, like, porn on, like, just like those big obnoxious desktop computers, which is so funny.
Yeah, I think like you said, I think for boys that's probably, I think most people in this age probably had that experience.
Yeah, which I is guess so
up. But moving on, growing into your baby gayness after you came out, like, I feel like that is also probably truthful baby gay status.
Yeah.
What was your, how did you embrace your queer identity or shy away from it?
I think that I don't know that I even was like, I feel like I just, like, all through high school was like a just big identity crisis. Like, we did the eyeliner and the dressing certain ways, and I feel like I never really settled into, like, a queer identity. I felt like I was just trying. I mean, for the first couple years of high school, I think I was just trying to be really, like, different. Like, I just felt different and I wanted to look different, and you know what I mean? I don't know
outside
how that
matches
really,
inside.
Yeah, I don't know how that really coincides with my queer identity, but I mean, as an adult, I would say fairly experimental with how I present myself to the world. So there's pieces of that that I definitely think were true to who I am, but I just think that when you're that young, you don't know. I just feel like I was just throwing everything at the wall and seeing what stuck, kind of.
Yeah, I think mine was more gradual because, like, after I came out, I was still so uncomfortable talking about, like, boys or thing, or, like, people be like, who do you think is cute? And I'd be like, I don't know, like, ah. I was like, I'm not. And I, like, tried to make it, like, not a thing. Like, I was like, I'm just going to be myself, which was still kind of just, like, a weird, like, obnoxious, stinky boy, which is who I am deep down. That's just that is my truth. That is my honor. But I think I kind of shied away from that until, later on in high school when I was like, okay, you know what? Like, I'm a young adult. I'm having my moment of being a young adult and I'm going to try to embrace it. And then in that way, I almost went like a 180 where I was trying to be like, almost trying so hard to have my like coming of age high school experience that mm-hmm. I realized looking back, it almost felt a little hetero in a way.
Really?
Which I think wasn't honest to myself. Like maybe, I think it was like, I lost my virginity. I was looking for just love and like having a boyfriend and being cool and blah, blah, blah. Cause I just saw all these people around me doing that. And I just don't think I enjoyed getting to know what it meant to be young and gay, which is honestly, I think the blessing is that it is a little less sexualized maybe, or less like sex is such a ever-present thing for you. Like I feel like for straight people, when you're like 15, 16, 17, you know, right at the end of high school and you're like, have a little more freedom and like, you know, if you're a girl or whatever, boys are like insanely horny. And if you're a guy, it's like, there's this weird like sexual hierarchy that gets solidified in high school. And it just kind of carries on into the rest of culture and the rest of like your society. When you go to clubs or whatever, and you're in your early 20s, there's like a very sexual nature to it, which isn't not true for gay people. I just think that when you're young and like in those settings, you kind of get, you have the option of not being super sexual. I also think in a way though, that like now that I'm talking through it, I think that makes a lot of gay guys in particular, like hyper horny once they're out of high school.
Yeah.
So many like, so many gay people now like are, can be very hyper sexual in their early 20s.
Yeah, I feel like for a lot of, especially gay men, when it's, it, things like that are so repressed, like self-expression in high school, that that's why a lot of them just kind of go wild when they're adults, you know what I mean? Which, yeah. Go for it. Like, but even just with sex, but like with like self-expression and identity and all of that stuff. You know what I mean?
That's true. I think with regards to sex, I think it can be liberating for some people, but it can also become a very toxic thing for others. Because I find like a lot of gay men have insecurity because of that like repressed sexuality, I think. Which is also just true with being gay. I don't know. It's so complicated and layered. All I know is from my experience, I think looking back on it, I enjoyed kind of not having the option to be a super horny teenager because it made me appreciate myself more and develop more into the person that I am now. And I don't really, I've never had a hoe phase. I don't think I'll ever have one. And I'm okay with that. I always thought it would be a cool thing to have. But now I'm like, every time I tried to get into one, it was like, it never felt natural.
I mean, it's interesting because I didn't go in detail on this on the roundtable, but remember I mentioned that drag performer from Vancouver who I went on a date with when I was 15. Uh-huh. And anyways, we were set up, for people who didn't listen, we were set up on a blind date by a mutual friend. It was a fine date. At the end of it, they said, you're too fat for a second date. Which, that was like, that was my second date ever. And as, I don't know. That was such a soul crushing comment to me.
Well, yeah.
And I was just like a 15-year-old little baby gay. I feel like I was definitely bigger and like chasing sort of like physical validation in other people. And then, so that's mm-hmm. why I think that when I was old enough to, I mean, I actually probably wasn't old enough, but when I got on Grindr and it was like, just like that sort of validation was kind of like at my fingertips, I think I went a little crazy.
Yeah. I definitely think I did go on Grindr too young as well, for sure. But I think Grindr is just like, I almost knew quickly that it was also just like not a very conducive space for for development. Or yeah. For like, it was, you know, it was more like, it's pornographic. It's not that movie moment. It's not that coming of age thing that I was feeling at the time. So I agree. I think I enjoyed a lot of the validation that I got on Grindr, because again, you just, it's so easy. Like, it's like, mm-hmm. You change your picture and then like a bunch of new messages, and then they fizzle out over a couple weeks, and then you do it again. It's like, ah, die popular. But
yeah,
I think, I don't know. Grindr's just also very, very complicated. It's like, it's, I don't know. I don't like Grindr.
No, I just think that you need a certain mindset if you're going to be on Grindr. Like, honestly, I don't think anyone has that mindset under the age of 20. Like,
no, like, you need to be like fully okay with yourself, and also like very practical. It's very like mechanical.
Yeah. Grindr's, you just like, you just need to
personless thing.
You just need to be, there's nothing wrong with being a hoe. There's nothing wrong with it at all, but like, I was not ready to be a hoe. Like, I did not love myself enough to be a hoe. Like, it just left me feeling really worse about myself. Like, the whole thing just left me feeling still insecure and just not good. And I got myself into some fucked up situations on Grindr, and it's just too easy. I think Grindr is too easy to get that validation in fucked up ways.
Yeah, you need to. I would definitely go back in time and tell my baby gay self, like, it's not the time, it's not the place. Just wait it out. If you want validation, I don't know, do better in school. Actually, I did pretty good, so I got validation from teachers. Yeah, I ain't good at it.
Teacher's pet.
Read a self-help book. I loved my teachers. I loved all of my teachers. Everyone who said they had a shitty teacher in high school, no, you didn't. You were just a shitty student. Actually, that's not true. There are objectively a couple bad teachers.
I definitely
had, but for the most part,
shitty teachers.
If you do your homework, they'll love you.
Yeah. I didn't start caring about school until grade 10, probably. I did pretty bad in grade 8 and 9.
I love how it's like always. I was looking at my grade 7 report card. I was getting like C's. Who gets C's in grade 7? You just have to be present. You just have to be there.
I thought in elementary school they didn't even do letters.
They do. And I was getting like a C in math. Like a C+ in English. And I was like, like, looking back, I'm like, Jesus Christ. I knew how to read. I mean, that's, isn't that just the requirement here? You can read a book.
It's so funny that like, they used to say like, grade 10 is when your grades start to matter. But then like, they're like, I was always taught that if you apply to university and they look at your grade 12, 11, and 10 grades, and then if you're, like, neck and neck with someone to get in, they look at your 8 and 9 grades. That's just a fucking lie. That's just not true at all. Literally
not true at all. No. They look at your 12 grades. That's it.
They look at your grade 12 grades.
Because I was skipping school, smoking weed, not going to class. You know, just, I was a skid in grade 11 for majority of the year. Wasn't getting good grades. And then I was like, okay, I want to try to get into a good school. So then I like planned all my courses for grade 12 prior to, like, I got my new math or whatever. So like all these better grades for the first semester. And then I applied to university with those grades. And then I got into everywhere that I applied because they did not look at my grade 11 grades. My grade 11 average, I was like getting like just B's and everything.
Why were you a skid in grade 11?
I think, you know, everyone has their, I think being a teenager, you always just, I probably go through growing pains, and that manifests itself in just mental illness, love. So I was just depressed and anxious, and I hated my body, and I was just doing bad things to myself. And I was just, you know, an unhappy, angsty 16-year-old who thought it was cool to just be high all the time.
When I first, I have something to say about your other points, but when I first met you, you were big stoner, big weed smoker.
Literally. And now I don't even smoke weed anymore. Like, I don't even classify myself as someone who smokes weed casually because I haven't done it in so long.
Yeah, neither do I. Unless it's like, I mean, so like, if it's funny to look at, I would only ever do it like if it's like, you know, a night out and whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I never like,
but even though, like, I used to actively procure it for a night out or something, or like I'd have it on hand if I need, like, not even that.
Yeah.
No, I'm just like, I guess I'm on the straight and narrow. Now I just stick to vodka and tequila like a classy 20 something.
Straight up. I was going to say that, like, it's weird looking back at how, like, depressed I was when I was younger, and how when you're in that state, you feel like it's so cheesy, but you feel so alone. But then as an adult, you talk to all these people and everyone was feeling the exact same thing. And you're like, oh,
I know.
Like,
and I also just look back and I was like, why? Like, you just think, like, why was I so sad? Like, what? Like, I think back and I'm like, I was so depressed and I just hated everything and I hated myself. And I'm like, why? Like, I'm fucking dope. Why would I hate on me? I got all these other stupid bitches around me. I could have hated on them, but no, I chose to be a dick to myself. And now I just think, God, what a waste of time that was.
Yeah, I also, I mean, honestly, I think my hatred of myself manifested itself in a lot of the ways that I treated other people in high school. I was not very nice to people. Like, I look back and I'm like, you were kind of mean to some people. And, like, I've had people as adults tell me that I was really mean to them in high school. And that kind of fucking sucks, actually. So
I will say, like, I was not mean to people in high school, but I have, like, thought about it, and I'm like, I was, like, actually kind of a terror in elementary school. I never meant to be, like, mean to people, but I just fucked with everyone. Like, I just absolutely fucked with everyone. I remember there was this girl in my class. I used to sneak up behind her to make her scream, and she was, like, she'd get so easily startled, and I'd be like, ah! And she'd be like, ah! And I'd be like, ha! I was like, that is hilarious. Like, I thought we were having a good time together. Or I used to, like, pressure this girl to trade her Oreos with me. And I thought she just would do it because we were trading. And I was like, I'm actually just being super pushy. And, like,
you thinking that all these people love it and they're really, like, going home and crying about this menace?
Literally, like, in my head, I was like, I'm such good friends with everyone. Like, we're all good friends. Like, when my friends were, like, fighting, I would go up to them with, like, my hands, like I'm taking a video. And I'd, like, run up to them and I'd be like, what's going on? What's the drama? Tell the camera the drama. Like, what's the gossip? And I'd be, like, trying to stir the pot. I'd be like, I heard she said this. And I'd just be making stuff up. Like, just trying to, like, make people fight. It's a little bit fucked up looking back on it.
Yeah. But I was
bartending the other week and this guy was sitting with some of the people that I work with, and he was like, oh, hey, did you go to this elementary school? I was like, oh, yeah, I did. And he's like, oh, I think you're a year older than this person, right? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, oh, yeah, I remember you from elementary school. I'm like, oh, my God, here's a couple free drinks. Because if you recognize me and I don't recognize you, maybe that means I was probably a fucking shit to you. So I apologize.
But, like, that's
you were a little much.
He said that?
Yeah, he's like, yeah, you were a little much at the time. I'm like, oh, my God, I don't know what I did to this poor person, but I don't know. I probably left them in the woods or something.
That's, like, innocent, though. That's not like malicious. My definite, I would call them my problem years, were when I was 12 to 14. And then I sort of cleaned up. I mean, it really is true looking back that you absolutely, and I was thinking about this the other day, you absolutely are the people that you surround yourself with. Because I had terrible friends that were horrible influences and pressured me to do things that I should not have done. And it was just like this friend group of, like, spiraling, fucking feeding off of each other's depression. And, like, I remember my mom really, like, forbidding me from seeing this one friend. And I Of course, as a 13-year-old, thought that she was like a crazy, psychotic helicopter parent. And I just rebelled against that. But looking back, I'm like, holy fuck, I should not have been hanging out with these people. Like, that is like, being around these people is absolutely why I was in that state for so long. Because when I turned 15, I separated myself from that person. And like, that's when my act started to get cleaned up. And that's when like things started to get a little bit better. Like, you really, yeah, and even today, even as adults, I think that I want to surround myself with people who are positive and kind and funny and like ambitious, you know, like all things that I want to emulate. And I think that you emulate those things through your friends. So,
yeah, I do think there is a little bit of irony in the fact that we're doing this like reflection on our baby gay selves when we're also like in our very early 20s. Like,
I was about to say, I'm getting
to the point where we're like, you know, we're progressing past high school into the point of like late teens, and then it's just where we are now actually in our lives. So I don't know, maybe I don't have that much advice for my baby gay self, because maybe I am still a baby gay.
I think in the grand scheme of life we are still toddler gays. Like, I'm approaching like mid-20s designation, which I don't want to talk about.
Being 1 year older. Yeah,
24 is when you start to approach mid-20s designation, and then
Jesus,
27 is when you start to approach late 20s designation. Anyways, it's a whole system I have in my brain, but we are still very young gays, and I still think that there's like a lot that I would tell young me.
Yeah, I think now. I feel like a full person, like a fully developed person now. But I also guess I felt that way when I was in those like worst periods of my life too. Like, I thought I knew everything. I thought I was so smart and that I could make every decision myself, and that I was like fully aware of the ramifications of everything I was doing. And like, that was not the case, obviously.
I mean, yeah, when you're in it, you don't see it when you're in it. I think that if we were to reminisce on right now when we're 30, like, we would feel the exact same way. I don't think that we're finished growing and developing. Our brains aren't even fully developed till we're fucking 25. Like,
it's probably stunted.
We're okay for you, 27. We're not our final versions. And I not to get fucking gay as fuck, but
I'm sorry, like, but this entire episode has been a fucking therapy episode. Like,
straight up, please. We should have
Dr. Phil on.
Yeah, Dr. Phil is a big queer. I saw this TikTok that was talking about so fucking stupid. That was talking about like how this age, 23, 24, 25, is kind of like very strange, because you're not like your young self, and I feel like you're not your full adult self yet. It's just like a weird transitional phase. So I do think it's fair to say that we are still very much so baby gays. Like, I feel like
it's like when people and you continue.
I was just gonna say, I feel like there would be older gays listening to this, rolling their fucking eyes that we're reminiscing on.
Well, I don't think anyone's listening to this.
Perfect.
I was gonna say, I think it's weird because we're still at that age where no one really like expects anything out of us. Like, if I go to Christmas, like a Christmas dinner or something, everyone shows up with a casserole. I just show up empty handed. I still get a ride. I'm like, I don't know how, I can't get the bus here. You know what I mean? Or like, I buy like presents for my niece and nephew, and I'm like, I don't know what the hell to get a child. Like, people just know what to buy for children or for other adults. Like, I went to a wine shop one time, and I thought like a $40 gift was reasonable, so I got them a $40 bottle of wine. I didn't realize nobody spends more than $12 on a bottle of wine, like, even as a present. Like, you're just supposed to, you get cheap wine for people. So they open this wine and they're like, is this like a nice wine? I'm like, I have no fucking idea. Like, I don't know the first thing about wine.
Yeah,
I just thought this was the price you spend on wine. I don't know. So it's just weird. Yeah. I mean, that we're in that weird period where we're not really responsible, but then at the same time, like, I have a full-time job ish. Actually, it's not full-time. I chose to actively not be full-time.
That's really inspirational. Thank you for sharing.
You're like, yeah, I'm still an adult, kind of. I pay my own phone bill. I buy groceries. I drove through a Starbucks drive-thru.
Yes, we are definitely in a weird spot. I feel like your early 20s are just a weird spot. I feel like most of your 20s are weird. Like, are you fully formed at 30? I don't know how it works.
I feel like life is just one big silly mess. It's like one big silly pretty mess. Pretty Mess by Erica Durity.
You know what this episode reminds me of? At the end of Drag Race, where RuPaul is like, what would you say to little baby Liam? And he holds up your baby picture and then you're on the stage crying.
Yeah, but they're always crying. It's like, what? You just need to be strong because you are so brave. You are so brave. Like, oh my God. That's
literally, yeah. And then they go to the next one and they say the exact same thing.
And it's like an inspirational thing, but then you realize they're just talking to themselves. Like, they're just like, what? You are going to change the world. You are going to do amazing, incredible things, and you are a perfect person. And you're like, oh my God, that's so inspiring to hear. And then you think, they're just talking about themselves. They're just saying, literally, I am great. I am perfect.
You are going to grow up with beautiful eyebrows, a little bit of a beautiful nose. You're going to have such good style. Like,
yeah. When they say you and you're watching, you take it personally. And then you think about it a little bit more. And you're like, nah, actually, wait a second here. Actually. Yeah.
What is one piece of advice you would give a younger version of yourself? You can pick the age.
I would tell my high school self to be kind to yourself and be present in the moment and just enjoy things as they are.
What age? What age do you think you needed that the most?
Like 16. Like 15. Probably 15.
Yeah.
I just don't take things so seriously, you know. Just
I think that's a big one. I think my piece of advice would be for probably 13, 14 year old me, and it would probably be to not take things so seriously, because I felt like everything was life or death. Like, yeah. Everything was, if people didn't like me, it was such a serious thing. Like, if people picked on me, it doesn't fucking matter. Like, if I could do high school again with like my adult mindset, it would be such a different thing.
Yeah, we should have high school as adults just so we can all redo. And all the
adults can realize how
shitty they are.
Isn't university like high school for adults?
University is, no, I don't know what university is. University is its like own thing. University is like daycare for adults. Like, it's not high school. Maybe it's like high school. I don't know.
I would also tell myself. It
just feels
like
you play. University just feels like fun.
I would also tell myself to not be in this big giant rush to be an adult. Like, I feel like I was just waiting. Yeah. I was just waiting to be an adult and to do all the things that adults do. And now I'm here, not even really fully, but I'm partially here. And I'm like, why did I want this so badly? Like, sorry. Like, being young is so much easier. And like, there are kids that I teach that are like, they're like 10 and they're saying, oh, I can't wait to be like 25. And I'm like, yes, you can.
You can wait.
You, like, being a kid is so easy. You have absolutely nothing to worry about. So why I was so fucking worried. I used to work like 12 hours a week.
I used to work like 3-4 times a week, and I would be like, it'd be after school. And like, school was easy to you. Just go and like hang out and like dick around for 6 hours of the day. I don't know, color in maps. And then you go home and like watch TV or hang out with your friends or whatever. It's like, you know. Yeah, no, I agree.
So
just enjoy your youth. If you're listening to this and you're young, enjoy it. Or I will come and do a spell and take your youth from you.
Fountain of youth.
Like the witches. Like the witches in Hocus Pocus.
Hocus Pocus. That's a great movie.
Almost time for that movie. Almost time for it.
Is that out this Halloween time?
No, but you just have to watch the original at Halloween, idiot.
But the second one's coming out soon.
I thought it was next year or something. I don't know.
Is it?
Regardless, I love that film. And Beetlejuice! Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Say Candyman.
No, I'm not going to do it. What advice would you give your current gay self?
Oh my God, I'm going through... I've had the worst fucking month, so I don't think I'm in the right mindset to give myself any sound advice. But I know that in 5 years, when I'm doing another look back at my youth, this will be the time that I give myself some piece of advice. I'm just not sure what it is.
Well, maybe you should just take advice that you gave to your baby gay self and just apply it now. So just be present, Chase, and don't take things so seriously.
Yes.
That's good advice, even for the present. That's, you know, beautiful. Why they call it the present? Because it's a gift.
I didn't actually ask.
I didn't. It was a rhetorical question. So rhetorical questions get rhetorical answers. They get rhetorical answers. Your rhetoric is disturbing. Just wanted to say that. Love that word. Anyways, I don't think I have much else to say on this topic.
No, I don't either. That was us reminiscing. Thank you to I Can Explain Podcast for the inspiration and the current terrible feelings I'm feeling right now. We give credit where credit is due. We got this idea from someone else. It's not a problem to use it, but we gotta, you know, check out their podcast. They don't really need the help. They're doing well, but...
Okay, well, what is your song of the motherfucking wee, motherfucker?
Mine is... it's from a movie I just watched on Netflix called Yesterday. It's from 2019. Have you seen it?
Oh, yeah. I've heard of it. Who's the main character? That was Deb Patel.
Himesh Patel.
Oh. Well, in my head. Anyways.
Anyways, he does a cover, because the whole thing's like to the Beatles songs, right? Anyways, the premise is the world forgets the Beatles and then whatever. He covers Yesterday by the Beatles, which is a beautiful song, but his version is like just him and his guitar, and it's so like stripped back and it makes me emotional. And I actually think that's the perfect song for this episode, so that's why I'm picking it.
Aw. Mine is, where is it? I've been listening to the La La Land soundtrack a lot, just like the funky funness of it.
Us both picking soundtrack songs.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. The song title is Summer Montage / Madeline. And it's just the one, it's like the montage of them just frolicking around Los Angeles. And it's just like a nice, upbeat, fun, jazzy song. But honestly, a lot of the music in the soundtrack kind of all sounds the same, because they all kind of use like the same theme, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I would just say almost the whole soundtrack counts as one song, but I won't say that.
Us picking soundtrack songs is literally so perfect for this episode. So
literally, this episode should be called My Life is the Movie. Ooh, ah, ooh. Is that how the song is called?
What song is
My
that?
Life be like, ooh, ah, ooh.
Not My Life is a Movie. My Life is a Movie.
My life is a movie. Ooh. Wow. Ooh. That's fire.
Anyways, do you want to do the outro, since you never do the outro?
Thanks for listening, motherfucker. Okay. Thank you so fucking much, motherfucker. Check us out on Podcast Central.
We need to stop swearing so much. We're gonna lose our audience. Conservative white ladies, listen to us. Thanks for listening. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok at @2servingspod. You can email us at twoservingspod@gmail.com if you want to be on the next roundtable, whenever that is.
Reach out. Or if you have any suggestions for things you want to hear on the show. You know what I was thinking? Actually, spitballing here. We should have an actual therapist come on the show, and we should do like a group therapy session, or like they just therapize us live on the podcast. I think
would they really cool. Charge us for that. Therapy is quite expensive.
Well, it'd be fair. We just pay for 1 hour, you know what I mean? Or get a coupon.
Split,
I don't know.
Split two ways. A Groupon, group therapy.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Also, don't forget to go to chefsplate.ca/2servings and use our code 2servingspod to get 15% off your next bucket of food.
We don't have a code, and Chef's Plate does not use buckets.
Chef's Plate does not sponsor us, but Chef's Plate, if you like the way I just read that ad out, maybe you should sponsor us because I'm really good at it.
Okay, tell them to leave us a review. Tell them to leave us a review.
Don't forget to leave a 5-star review for your Chef's Plate dinner that you can make at home tonight.
No, leave a review for our show. With our show.
And while you're at it, check out our show on the Podcast Store podcast. And leave us a 5-star review.
Okay, that was, you know what? I'll take it.
Okay, well, fire. Fire away. I'm Liam.
Okay, bye, everyone.
Signing off from Houston, Texas. I'm Liam.
I'm ending this shit.
I'm in Langley.